Amen. Do you love Him this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit. Hallelujah. Never, ever do I want to take for granted the holy presence of God. We are so blessed, people. We are so thankful that God is mindful of us, not only to live within us, amen, but give us desires of our heart to heal us, to encourage us, amen, to equip us for the battles that we're going to face, amen. But you know, one of these days, all of that's going to be over. There'll be no more problems, no trials, no sickness, no pain. Thank God, no more death. What a glorious time that's going to be. We're so thankful for the moving of the power of God for those of you that came forward and received your healing this morning by faith. I believe that God is able to do all things. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Continue to entertain the Spirit of God that is in this place this morning. Man, there's just the thickness, the cloud of the Spirit of God. And we need to understand and appreciate the power of God and His might. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 16. Thank you for standing as we read from the Word of God this morning. Again, Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse number 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? Brother Chris, lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would, and ask God to bless and anoint His messenger.
Father, we love You this morning. Father, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your Spirit.
Yes, dear Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for what You've already done in this place, and we thank You for what You're going to do in this place, Father God. Lord, we thank You that You're good to us all the time. Father.
All the time. Yes.
Lord, be with Brother Eddie, Father God. Pour out Your anointing upon him, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, let it saturate his being, Father God. Lord, let every word that he speaks be of You, Father God. Lord, let it pierce hearts and transform lives, Father God. Lord, make us different, make us more like You in this place, Father God. So we thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning, from this passage of Scripture, I'd like to bring a message entitled, The Power That Works in Us. The Power That Works in Us. This is a very encouraging passage of Scripture that the Apostle is writing to the church at Ephesus, assuring them of God's power and of His might. How many at this point in your life is fully persuaded that God is love? Man, you know what? If we can't get past that, we're going to have great difficulty getting past His precepts, His commandments, and His statutes, and what His will is in our life if we don't understand that He loves us. God is not out to get us. He's not out to wreak vengeance upon us. In fact, it is not His will that any should perish. If we perish, it is not according to the will of God. We know that God wants us saved. He wants us filled with His Spirit. And Jesus Christ Himself has prepared a place, amen, that you and I may rest and dwell eternally. But there's seemingly so many in the world today who has not recognized that, and if they have recognized that, they have not fully complied with the commandments and the love of God. But again, this morning, I want to dwell on the power that works in us. I think it's amazing that God would not only save us, fill us with His Spirit, but then, according to the Apostle, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory. And I want you to dwell on that for just a moment, if you would. We're not talking about a small bank account. We're not talking about a small storage house. Amen. Blessings beyond our ability to fathom or comprehend, amen, is at the very fingertips of Almighty God. Than that He loved us so much that He would not only send His Son to die for our sins, but He would, in fact, give us according to the riches of His glory. Now, the apostle begins to list some of the things that the Lord has given us. Now, many people might misinterpret that to think God's going to give us all the money and all the land holdings and all the things of this world. Well, I ask you this question. Had you rather have the Spirit of God or all the holdings in this world? Amen. Because everything that we have down here is going to be left behind. Amen. I'm not going to take any of it with me, because everything that I'm ever going to have need for of is already prepared for me. Amen. I'm not even going to pack a suitcase. I'm not even going to take a backpack. Amen. Because I know that where I'm going, God is going to sustain me for an eternity. And it's going to be better, amen, than anything we've ever experienced down here. Praise God. If you're looking forward to that, give the Lord praise this morning. Glory to God. But I want to mention some of the things that the apostle said that we can have through the riches of God's glory. The first thing that he mentions is strength. Many knows that we need strength to endure the things that we must face here on this earth. Amen. You know, I want to pray this. Lord, rather than keeping those things from me, give me strength to go through those things. You know, the Lord could have kept Daniel out of the lion's den. He loved Daniel. Amen. Daniel loved God. Daniel, even when it was not politically correct, in fact, it was against the commandment or the decree of the king, he prayed to God anyway. Glory to God. You know what? They may have taken prayer out of school, but they ain't taking it out of my heart. How about you? Amen. I can pray anywhere I want to go. Thank God. Amen. I can kneel and pray to my God and love Him and thank Him. Amen. And Daniel was a man that loved and reverenced God, and he continued to pray. And God could have kept him out of the lion's den, but I'm so thankful that God went through the lion's den with him. Amen. Somebody needs to know that this morning, because you're facing some hungry lions. Amen. But how many knows God can close the mouth of the lions? Amen. Isn't it even greater to know that, you know, rather than God letting us go, keeping us out of the lion den, He lets us just walk in among them. In the name of Jesus, lion, close your mouth. In the name of Jesus, lion, get thee behind me. Woo, what power that is. What an anointing that is. Sure, He can keep you from it, but thank God sometimes he chooses to keep you through it. Wow, glory to God. If you know what I'm talking about, put your hands together for the power that works within us. Glory to God. The power. Man. Can't say that word without screaming it at the top of my lungs, because that's how great that is. Hallelujah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you hear the music sound, you bow down and worship these idols. Not so, King. Glory to God. My neighbors may do it. My workplace may do it. My so-called friends may do it. My government might do it. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I will not bow down to idolatry. I will not bow down to political correctness, because I serve one that is greater than the political correctness that is in this world. I serve an almighty God. And even if everybody else bows down to the idolatry, I'm going to stand for my God. I'm going to stand for Him, because He stood for me. Glory to God for the power that works within us. He gave them strength, carried them through the fiery furnace. Time and time again, we read through the Bible where God gave strength, enormous, powerful strength, to those who stood true to Him. How many knows that God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? He'll give you strength to stand. strength for the inner man. Hallelujah. I cannot specify. I cannot urge you enough to be concerned about that spirit that is within you. Hallelujah. The nourishment that that inner spirit needs, the inner man. Man, it doesn't come. It doesn't come from natural things. It doesn't come from material things. It comes from a spiritual relationship with God. A walking close to the Lord. Man, it's very disheartening to me to see that Christians today are following so far behind our Lord and Savior. Amen. Maybe you want to be one of them, you just don't want to be recognized as one of them. Come on. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I cannot afford to be ashamed of my loving Savior. I can't help it if people don't like me. I can't help it if I'm not popular. I can't help it if I'm not on the who's list. None of that matters. But what does matter, amen, is I got to remain true to my Lord and Savior. I will not be ashamed to say I am a born-again Christian. In fact, I am blessed to be able to say I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus. I'm a believer in what He did on the cross of Calvary. I'm a believer that He came out of the tomb, resurrected. Amen. It is alive and well today. But the power has to be within us. The second thing that he mentioned was faith. Faith that Christ may dwell in your hearts. It is very sad today that the adversary has convinced a lot of people you're not good enough to be saved. You're not good enough to be called a Christian. Can I say that to the person who's battling with that? None of us are. It is because of His mercy. It is because of His grace. It is because of His abounding forgiveness, amen, that any of us can stand and say that we're a born again Christian, filled with the Spirit of God that produces power that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Amen. In this day and hour, faith to believe, not only faith for healing, not only faith for God will sustain us, but faith to know that Christ dwells within my heart. Hallelujah. I want to share something with you just a little bit later in the message this morning, if God allows me to do so. But it incorporates so many of these amazing riches that God has granted us. Not only salvation and forgiveness, but these wonderful, wonderful riches. To be rooted. We talk about being rooted sometimes. And can I tell you today that some folks are rooted in the wrong thing. Some people are rooted because we've always done it that way. Man. Some people are rooted because that's all I've ever heard. Man. Listen. If you're going to be rooted, you need to be rooted in God's love. Because you can't separate love from God. It is to say, God is love. And in being incorporated or rooted in the love of God, then you're going to be the recipient of these wonderful riches that God bestows upon us daily. So often we think that God hadn't blessed me because I don't have a new car. God hadn't blessed me because I don't have a new house. God hadn't blessed me because I don't have a new wardrobe. But God has blessed you. When you begin to look around at other people that have been able to amass all of those things, some of them are so very miserable and lonely and destitute that they sink into a deep depression. Thank God that the worldly things don't take precedence over my spiritual walk with God. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. As long as I got Him, I got everything I need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But to be rooted means to be deep. Deep. Amen. Deep. Deep don't mean scratch the surface. Hallelujah. I told my wife one time, she was kind of down and out. And I told her, honey, gold nuggets don't lay on top of the ground. You didn't get it either. Y'all ain't none of you. If they did, they wouldn't mean that much. Dig. I'm going to get a dig. Deep. Glory to God. Lord, I don't want to be in the shallow end of the pool of blessings. When we dip our toes in and say, ooh, did that feel good? Get me on out. I said, let me get on out. Let it cover me. Glory to God. I'm going to get happy and dance here in a little bit. Glory to God. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the natural H2O. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost power. I'm talking about His anointed presence. Amen. I'm not satisfied with just being in the shallow end of the pool. Lord, get me. Submerge me. Let me be flooded over with Your deepness of Your power. With the deepness of Your word. Hallelujah. I want to be rooted. So when the winds may blow, amen, the storms may come, amen, I'm rooted and grounded. Hallelujah. Somebody once said, make me a palm tree. I'm thinking, you want to be skinny? You would think that the huge body oak would be able to withstand the storms because it looks so powerful. It looks so majestic with its big trunks. But it's the palm tree. Even when the oak tumbles and falls, the palm tree's blowing in the wind. But its roots are deep. It's grounded. Hallelujah. It's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm grounded in His love. I'm grounded in His word. The winds can come. The storms may blow. But I'm not going anywhere because my faith is not in my ability. My faith is in an Almighty God. Rooted in His love. And then it almost sounds like the apostle is redundant when he says grounded. But I was kind of intrigued. Some of us can be rooted and not grounded. Grounded means settled. Whew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm settled. Got my mind made up. My foot's on the rock, but my mind's made up. Hallelujah. Heard one person testify. I said, well, if this is not it, I'm going to keep this till that comes. This is it. Amen. There ain't nothing better coming. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus Christ has already come. Amen. For the first time. And He gave His life for you and me. Amen. And He took our sins and nailed them to the cross of Calvary. And through that precious blood that flowed, glory to God, there is a redeeming of my sins. It washed them away. Glory to God. I'm not only rooted, but I am grounded. I am settled in the Word of God. Nobody's going to make a difference in my life and change my mind because my mind is not on my ways, but it's on God's ways. Rooted and grounded. Great riches to understand. Then he says that he gives us the ability, or we're able to comprehend. Able to comprehend. I remember very vividly, but it's in there somewhere. You'll know what I'm talking about when you reach my age. It's in there. Can't put my hand on it sometime, but it's in there. And I remember sitting in a classroom, and the teacher would go over the lesson or the instruction, and she would say, If you understand, just kind of nod your head. If you don't, raise your hand. And the first thing I did was look around the room to see if anybody else was going to raise their hand, because I had no idea what she was talking about. And because nobody else raised their hand, I didn't either. And I'm sure I had the most dazed and confused look on my face when she looked at me and said, "Do you understand it?" We'll see how much you understand when I give you that test. But I'm so glad that God revealed it to me. Mama told me all my life. Daddy told me all my life. But until God revealed it to me, and I was able to spiritually comprehend the price that He paid on the cross of Calvary, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. He died so that I might live. He came back through the Holy Ghost so that I might have power to overcome the things of this world. He's got me a home. Glory to God. He's got me a home over yonder. Hallelujah. Are you thankful? Glory to God that we're able to comprehend, to discern the vastness of His love, the breadth, the width, the depth, the height of His great love, of His immaculate love. I do not have enough adjectives in my vocabulary to adequately describe the greatness of God. Amen. But I'm thankful that I'm able to comprehend and to discern the vastness of His love. And then He says, to know His love. The know that it was used here, and you have to understand that even in the English language, there's several different types of know. There's several words that sometimes mean different things, but the know that here means to experience. My wife went to, I guess it's all right to say, Publix. They're not giving me anything for saying that, but she went to the Publix bakery and she bought a New York style cheesecake. And the reason I'm doing this is because you've got to experience it. Don't take my word for it. Brother Dave, you've got to experience it. You can't taste it without experiencing it. Oh, Jesus. When God created the heavens and the earth, somewhere in there, He made way for a New York style cheesecake with strawberries and the succulent juices that are on the strawberries that gently runs down the side of the cheesecake and down onto the plate, and you eat it with a spoon because a fork can't get it all. Tell you about it all day, but you need to experience it. Come on. Tell the folks all day long about God's love. We can make it as appealing as I tried to that New York cheesecake. But until you experience it. Thank God I experienced it. Now listen. I want you to stay with me. You can feel it and still not experience it. Be like the teacher. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. If you don't understand, got questions. Because I sat in church for years and felt it.
Come on, brother.
And watched it. And saw the effects of it. But I hadn't experienced it. Through one night. Glory to God.
This is what they were talking about. This is what they felt. This is how good it is. Oh, I can sleep tonight. All my problems, all my troubles, all that sin has been washed away. No wonder the prophet said, it's fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. To know His love is to experience love that supersedes knowledge. You see, I can't adequately describe it to you. You just got to experience it. But once you experience it, glory to God, you'll never be the same. Never, ever be the same. Then he says, to be filled with the fullness of God. Mull that over. If you're filled with the fullness of God, it doesn't leave room for much else. Because if there's room for much else, you're not completely filled with the fullness of God. I was intrigued to find out it means completely flooded with the fullness of His Spirit. If you're filled completely with the fullness of God, when you spew, you're going to spew godliness. It's nothing else in there. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Ghost. But I want to be filled with your fullness. So when somebody asks me something, all I can spew out is, God is love. The Bible tells me so. Amen. You can be saved. You can be born again. Don't let me be judgmental. Don't let me be hateful. Don't let me be offensive. Let me spew the fullness of God. Amen. And when I spew the fullness of God, Lord, fill me up again. Flood me over. Hallelujah. To be filled. All of these wonderful riches that He would grant you according to His glory. There's plenty to go around. You won't use it up. Verse number 20. You hear me use this and allude to it in many of my testimonies and my messages and even when I'm praying. Now unto Him. Everybody say now. This will add some importance to a statement, don't it? You better straighten up. Now! Come here, now! Take that trash out, now! Ball game ain't over yet, sweetheart. Now! He's a now God. Not a will be, not a has been, but a now God. Folks, I wish we could see the power like we used to. Ain't His fault. He's a now God. Ooh, I wish the Holy Ghost would just flow through the service like it used to. He's a now God. Amen. Do we want it? Now. Glory to God. He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so many times that's, God checked me on this, so many times that's where I ended. But it's just getting started good. Because if we put a period there, see, I did remember a little bit. A period is just a dot. A comma is a dot with a tail on it. Whatever it takes to remember. And snake eyes is a
colon. And a dot with a tail on it ain't a real colon, that's a semicolon. My English teacher, no, I don't wish my English teacher was here. I'd have red marks all over these notes. Amen. Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, period, changes all of that. But according to the Scripture, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, comma, according to the power that worketh in us. He's already equipped us for the battle. He's already equipped us for the affliction. He's already equipped us for the whatever the problem may be, according to the power that worketh in us, that He has given us through the riches of His glory. Able. How many believe He's able? We sing it all the time. He's able, He's able, I know He's able. Sure He's able. Having the capacity or power. But didn't this Scripture say, according to the power that worketh within us? According to the power that worketh within us, we are able. Glory to God. Brother Chris talked about David. David was not able just because he was good with a slingshot. He was able according to the power that God had anointed him with. We're not able because of the talent God has given us. We're able because of the power that God has instilled in us. We need to speak like we got power. We need to act like we got power. We need to believe like we got power. We need to pray like we got power. Power not from us, but power from God through us. According to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding, to go beyond, to be more, greater than, to surpass. Come on. We don't serve a mediocre God. He does not instill within us mediocrity, mediocre power. That power that we have within us is godly power. And I think we ought to act like it. I think we ought to walk like it and trust like it and believe the power that God has instilled within us. Power to speak to Satan. Not excuse me, Satan, but get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan, through the power and the authority that is within me. Hallelujah. Abundantly. How many people, given the choice, would rather receive a paycheck adequately or abundantly? Just give me a paycheck. That's what's the matter with some Christians. Just give me a paycheck. Come on. Amen. Well, you can have more abundantly. Glory to God. Abundantly. Far and above. You know what abundantly means? More than enough.
Just give me enough faith, Lord, to get through this day.
That sounded like Ernest T. Bass, didn't it? Been watching way too much Andy Griffith. Yeah, Ernest T. Bass.
Oh, walk with me. Hold my hand. Kiss my mouth.
Maybe sometimes that's what we sound like to God. We sound like Ernest T. Bass.
I just got enough. Lord, just get me through this day. Just get me through this little trial.
Amen. When we ought to be saying, God, thank you for that that is within me.
Amen.
The power that you have given me, God, to overcome giants.
Yes,
to walk through rivers, to walk through a Red Sea. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whoa, praise God. Hallelujah. To speak to that devil and say, get thee behind me. Amen. To walk by faith, to live by faith, to operate in faith. Thank you for what you've instilled within us, according to the power that worketh in us. This week I was watching, like many of you, the devastation of the storms in Tennessee, and certainly we need to keep them in our prayers and pray that God would give them the ability and others surrounding them, which it seems to be that people are coming to their aid in a number of different ways. And you know how the interviewers are. They're always sticking a microphone into somebody who's just, you know, faced devastation. And I think there is a hunger out there that wants to see that person crying. And I don't know what I would do if I just lost everything, but I would like to be like the example that I saw this week. But I don't think that's exactly what the newscast and the interviewers are looking for. They're wanting to find a sob story or something. And they went to this man, and it's kind of a middle-aged man, and they, you may have seen it too, but his whole house and everything that he owned was just devastated. And they began to ask him questions. He did not want to talk about what he lost. He was talking about how he was going to rebuild. Come on. Come on. I turned the volume up. I said, man, this is great. This man had absolutely just, you could look behind it and it was a pile of rubble. But he had seemingly a smile on his face. I thank God that my family's well. I thank God, amen, that he's going to give me the power and the ability to start rebuilding again. We're not going to wait on anybody to come help us, but we're going to start this very moment rebuilding. Glory to God. Give me that kind of faith. Give me that kind of power. When the devil knocks me down, I get right back up. When storms come, amen. They may blow me, but I won't lose it ground to it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it reminded me of something. And I, again, if you think it's hard to remember something in here, it's really hard to remember where I placed something. I got so many nooks and crannies that I've stuffed stuff. It's almost sometimes like Christmas when I start opening things. Gone 10 years ago. And to be honest with you, some of it should have been gone 10 years ago. But I was looking for something and I finally found it. And I was really amazed. It was a poem that God laid upon my heart. I don't remember what I was facing at that particular time, but evidently it was one of those times when I needed to rely on the power that is within us, and I needed to be reminded to do so. And God does that sometimes. Man. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not standing up here in the pulpit telling y'all I ain't never experienced none of that. Because I have. I mean, we all do. You know, I don't jump up and down when a trial hits me in the face. I'm human. But thank God, I'm learning. I'm learning. Ever learning. Amen. To be more reliable on God and less reliable on I don't know. I got to do something. No. I just give it to the Lord. And when you really give it to the Lord by faith, God moves and makes a way. And you say, wow. That's when you know God's done it. So evidently, I was experiencing something. I don't know. Maybe my wife cooked the wrong meal or something. I don't know. Something. But I think it was deeper than that. I think that was going through something. Because I probably wouldn't have felt that way unless I had been. And let me tell you something. No, I ain't going to tell you that. Because that's going to be a misconception. I know many of y'all think that pastoring for 27 years has been a ball. It's been just a glorious ride. All downhill, never uphill. So I'm not going to bust your bubble and tell you, no, there are a few pitfalls along the way. I just won't tell you that. But evidently, I was going down on this one and not, or trying to go up instead of down or something. But anyway, when I looked at, and I'll read the date in just a moment. But this is what I wrote. I am not a victim. I'm an overcomer. When facing persecution through Jesus, I will conquer. He is always with me. So what is there to fear? Through sadness and through sorrow, He dries my every tear. He promises to lead me and guide me every day. So if I follow faithfully, in perfect peace I'll stay. Life is full of trouble, sorrows and pains abound. Filled with His Holy Spirit, I walk on holy ground. Trials should not overwhelm us, nor storms of life cause fear. His holy word assures us His strong arm will be near. There really is a difference between the two, you see. Give up, become a victim, or through Christ, overcome, be free. The date is August 26, 2002. I was but a mere kid. But evidently I was facing something. And God pulled me up out of that and let me know. Man. That the power that worketh in us is greater than he that comes against us. You need to know that. You need to understand that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sister Jennifer, would y'all come? How many still got a feeling everything's going to be all right? Good. I won't sing that one again, but I do want to sing. I want to sing one that has seemingly become my testimony. We do it in the key of G. Hallelujah. Don't you love our musicians? Amen. This altar is open. I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That old mountain too high and the valley you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. If you know it, sing it with me. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
I said before I started singing, this altar is open. It's never closed. If you have a need, bring it forward. If you don't know Christ, please come. If you followed Him, but you followed Him from a way behind, why don't you recommit and rededicate your life? Really, you don't even have to do that here at the altar. You just have to make it up in your mind. God can hear you anywhere you kneel to pray. But I urge you, if you're not where you need to be in Christ, why don't you ask for more of His Spirit, more of His guidance, more of His power? God bless you. We love you. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God go with you. May God strengthen you.